Ephesians 2, I want to look at a couple of verses together. We'll be observing our communion in conjunction with this. Ephesians chapter 2. You'll notice in verse 3 it says, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of life in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. You know, how is God's mercy, and how was God's mercy demonstrated? We're not going to do a Bible study in Ephesians 2 because we could spend many, many hours here, of course, but this is what the chapter actually teaches. Notice verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes or at one time were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. How? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I want us to consider tonight in this communion service the truth. I just want us to think for a while about God's mercy. You know, there's a wonderful text in the little book of Micah that presents a very powerful, wonderful reminder about the mercy of our God. It says in Micah 7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? He retaineth not his anger forever because, here's what it says, he delighteth in mercy. Now think about that for a moment. The Bible says God delights in mercy. What do you delight in? You have a hobby, many of you do, that you delight in, that you get joy from. You enjoy that. It's a delight for you. You delight in your grandchildren or your children. Some of you delight in food. Some of you delight in your business and your work and so on. Well, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God delights in something. He enjoys something. The scripture says he delighteth in mercy. We mentioned this morning in Luke 15, our Lord told the parable of the lost sheep. And what that shepherd said when he returned with the sheep upon his shoulders, he said, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. That is God being pictured as one who is rejoicing. The same is true with the prodigal son. As we noted this morning, the father said, let us make merry and be glad. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. James 2:13 says, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. When Isaiah talked about the mercy of God covering the land of Israel, he said these wonderful words. He said, as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride. I've done many weddings, performed many, many weddings, and stood up here next to a bridegroom and watched them when the bride entered and came down the aisle. And so the Bible, using a powerful metaphor, says, as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. These are pictures. God could not make it any clearer. We could go through many other scriptures as we did this morning for a bit. The gladness and the delight that the shepherd would experience when finding his lost sheep. The delight that a father would feel when a dead son has returned and is alive again. And the delight that a groom has over his bride on wedding day. Folks, these are pictures that God uses to show us how much he delights in his work of mercy. 26 times in Psalm 136, we read the very same words. 26 times it says in that one chapter, his mercy endureth forever. When God appeared to Moses in Exodus 34 and declared his name, could have said anything. He said to Moses, I am the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. It leads us to a few observations during communion about God's mercy that are, I think, life-changing for every child of God. But they are life-changing to the extent that we embrace and understand and believe them by faith. For example, the first thing I want us to think about is the fact that, number one, God delights to see his mercy extended to us. Notice chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That was all of us. We were slaves. We belonged to Satan. "Of whom also we all had our conversation in time past." That was the past. We were children of wrath, the last part of the verse says. In other words, look, it is not because we are good. It is not because we were holy or we were so able that God delights in his mercy. Perfect people don't need mercy, and there are no perfect people. And so the delight of God, follow this, the delight that God has in his mercy isn't dependent upon sinners. You know, William Shakespeare wrote in The Merchant of Venice these words. He said, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven." Well, droppeth upon what? Hosea 14 says, "God's mercy shall be as the dew upon Israel." You know why? Because like the dew, it drops from heaven upon the cactus as well as the rose, upon the prickly thorns as well as the lilies. So that God delights in extending mercy to, no matter who it is, to the people on earth. Our text says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, even when we were dead in sins." So you see, folks, God delights in his mercy simply when it comes to us. You say, "But Pastor, I thought that God was a God of truth and holiness and justice and therefore a God of judgment." And of course, you know, you're right. As we preached this morning, our God is all of these things, but that does not mean that God delights in wrath in the same way that he delights in mercy. Let me illustrate this. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." I had a friend in high school whose parents in Indiantown made honey. Honeybees there, that was their business. They worked out in the citrus groves, and one day I remember I was talking to my buddy about God and kind of a witnessing to him, and he said these words that you've all heard. He says, "I don't understand how a God of love could also be a God of judgment." And I immediately thought of the example of honeybees in that world, because the main purpose and job and motivation and activity of honeybees is to make honey. That's what they delight in, so to speak. But what happens if you provoke them? What happens if you go about destroying their work? Then they go about stinging you. Nobody blames them for that. It's their territory. It's their nature. It's their instinct. In some ways, it might even be your own fault if you got stung. Well, beloved, God doesn't go around stinging folks for pleasure and for fun. And in fact, even though we have all provoked him to wrath, even though the Bible says that the wicked provoke him all day long, nevertheless, what God delights in, think about this, he delights in his mercy. He will sting. He will judge, he will do justice, he is holy, but oh, how God loves mercy. I remember I had a Bible study in Chicago many years ago. There was a beautiful Catholic church, St. Hyacinth's. There was a beautiful school nearby on my route. It housed a whole bunch of nuns and priests. And I remember one day they posted a sign outside on their perfectly manicured lawn that said, "Absolutely no trespassing. Do not place a foot on this grass or you'll be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law." And it was signed at the bottom, "The Sisters of Mercy." I'm sure it was a joke. But you know what is very serious tonight? It is how God's mercy, mercy that God delights in. Now, I want you to think about that. What do you delight in? This is what God delights in. Mercy that God delights in has come down to us through, as we read in this text, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Communion, as you know, is a memorial instituted by Jesus himself so that we would remember that sacrifice. so that we would remember that God's mercy came at great cost. The judgment of God was on display as the mercy of God on the day that Jesus gave his life. As you know, on that first night, they passed out bread. The bread was a picture of the body of our Lord Jesus that would soon be broken. It would be broken for us. And the Lord Jesus took bread in the last Passover, that last supper, if you will, and he instituted as a memorial for us to take unto ourselves to remember that his mercy was extended through his body. I want to ask Brother John Morris if he would stand, and he's going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for the bread, and then Brother Steve and I will prepare the communion. Brother John. I said earlier that God delights in his mercy. When it comes to us, he delights in his mercy when it comes and covers the earth, obviously, as we noted. But you know, the greater truth is really that God delights in his mercy when it also is extended within us. Here in Ephesians 2, if you are able to look at it, you might want to, or just listen. It says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," means made alive, "hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." In verse 13 again it says this, "But now in Christ Jesus ye who are sometimes or at one time far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And then verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens." Now follow this carefully. It's a wonderful thing that God extends his mercy to all of the people of this world. You can easily see why a God of mercy who delights in mercy would delight, in fact, to see that mercy cover the land as the dew covers the earth. But beloved, in order to subdue our iniquities, in order to cast our sins into the depths of the sea, that mercy, the mercy that comes to us, must be found within us. So what do you mean? In other words, while God always delights in his mercy, it's part of his nature, the end of that delight takes place when a sinner receives the mercy by God's grace. Our Lord Jesus said there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels when a single sinner repents. That is mercy applied. And that is what delights the heart of God. Many centuries ago, some of the earliest believers wrote about what was called, it was the so-called mercy prayer. It's 12 little words in English that they said expresses everything that God requires for his mercy to reach within a man's heart. Prayer does not save anyone, a prayer I should say, it is faith, but these words, 12 words, in the famous mercy prayer centuries ago said, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." That little prayer of 12 words contains just about all the theology a lost person needs. "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Psalm 147:11 says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in those that hope in his mercy." In Luke 18, the mercy of God came to both the publican and the Pharisee in that temple, but it was the publican who said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And oh, how God delights when seeing the mercy that comes to us continue as mercy that comes within us. And this man, Jesus said, went down to his house justified. I was 12 years of age. All 12 of those years, the mercy of God had come to me. I was a beneficiary of God's mercy and the fact that I could take air and food and oxygen and live and attended vacation Bible school in Texas and heard the gospel as a little boy, 5 years of age. God was showing mercy to me. But when I was 12 years of age and walked to church and rode a bus and came home and read God's simple plan of salvation, I said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," and his mercy came within me. And it's amazing to me to think that God delighted in that. There was only one reason why that mercy was available for a sinner such as I. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye that were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ." God sent his Son, whose body was broken, beaten, cat of nine tails, the nails in his hands and his feet, the suffering, the shame on a cross hanging there as sin. The piece of bread that you hold in your hand unleavened is a picture of the unleavened, the sinless body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was broken for us. Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Our Father, we are grateful. We are grateful for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming. Beaten and buffeted. Broken and bruised. So marred, your word says, that the visage was no longer that of a man. And yet sinless. We thank you for the broken body. And we give you praise for the mercy that it demonstrates. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. As you well know, they all also took juice. The Lord Jesus passed amongst the apostles and disciples. He instituted in that memorial reminder of his blood. You think about all the lambs that were slain for hundreds and hundreds of years, every Passover. They were all insufficient. Because they were a picture of the Lamb of God who was slain for our sins. I'm going to ask Brother Chris Griskevitz if he would to stand and ask for God's blessing upon the juice, and then we will pass that as well, Brother Chris. In that communion service, that Last Supper, the Lord Jesus took the cup, the Bible calls it, the fruit of the vine, and he held it up in front of the apostles, and he said, "This cup is the New Testament, my blood." He was showing them that this is a picture. And this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, giving his blood, shedding his blood for our sins. You know, I love the scripture we read a moment ago. It says that he is rich in mercy and his great love wherewith he loved us. His mercy is because of his love. And our Lord Jesus took that cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Father, how sweet it is to our mouth, to our taste, to our heart, to our soul, to think of the bitter cup that Christ took. How sweet for us that he shed his blood, that his body was broken for our sins. Thank you for your mercy that endureth forever. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. I ask you, Father, that those of us who have been the greatest recipients of your mercy will be the great vessels of your mercy, that it will flow through us as well. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.